everybody, and welcome to another episode of A La Carte with Keithy. I am your host, Keithy Langston, and we are listening to the dulcet tones of the Gypsy Kings and their version of Hotel California. Of course, famously known for the soundtrack from the movie The Big Lebowski. And I don't know what made me think of that today, but I kind of wanted to open up this episode with that song. I love that song. I love that version of the song, actually. I love that whole thing. But I wanted to welcome you today. This is, as you can tell, the title of the episode is Dinner for One, or Table for One, rather. And that's mostly because I'm just going to have a solo pod today. It won't be very long. And I apologize if you were hoping for a 2-hour sojourn into my life, but I really wanted to just kind of give everyone an update from my Easter weekend and my trip to Philadelphia for the WrestleMania. So I will tell you that the first half of this show is going to be kind of just a rundown of my Easter holiday and the food that I fed to my family and all that kind of stuff, and just some discussion points of things that I thought were really interesting. And then after that, I am going to talk a little bit about my WrestleMania weekend. So if you're not really into wrestling and you really don't care about that, please know you can listen to the first half and then you can kind of cut out if you want. But I hope you do listen to all of it, because, you know, even though I know this isn't really a wrestling podcast, I do think that wrestling is a very, very big part of my life, and I think everybody would enjoy it. So I hope that you did. But the first thing I want to talk about is, of course, is the most recent holiday that we had was Easter weekend. And I hosted my family. I had like 14 people, including myself, over at the house. I had, you know, my mother, my sister, my brother, my nephew, and we also had my sister-in-law. So my brother's mother was here. My brother's mother was here, but also my nephew's mother was here, which was nice. And then my aunt, my uncle, my cousins and their kids and their spouses and everything. And it was a wonderful weekend. And growing up, we used to always go to my aunt's house, and my aunt would serve Easter dinner. She used to have two holidays, and my mother would have two holidays, so we would go for Christmas Day and Easter to my aunt's, and then we would have Thanksgiving at my mom's, and then usually, something probably like Christmas Eve-ish would be mostly just like immediate family at my mom's house. But really, since they're both older now, and I felt it was time for me to inherit a few holidays, and so I inherited Thanksgiving and I inherited Easter, and my cousin Debbie inherited Christmas. And so the last few years we've had kind of a lot of fun, especially after COVID, when we all started getting together again for holidays. It's been quite an adventure. I missed out 2 years ago because I was in Italy for the first trip, and I remember my cousin Debbie texting me and saying, "Yeah, you're getting this back next year. I'm not doing it again." And so I said, okay. But it's fun. I mean, the first year that I had everybody over, I kind of went the traditional Italian route, and traditional Italian in my family, and I made a couple 3 pounds of meatballs, and I think my mother made an eggplant parmesan, and we had raviolis, and then I went and got the honey-baked ham, because my family loves the honey-baked ham, and, you know, all the extra trimmings. I think I did mashed potatoes and all that kind of stuff, so it was kind of a very traditional, at least Easter-filled weekend. This was several years ago, and then So last year, I decided to, for the first time, instead of buying the honey baked ham and having that, I made a roast. I made a roast beef, and you know, it was kind of cool, because my brother he questioned whether or not I was actually going to be able to successfully make a roast beef, because those of you who may or may not have made them in the past, they are difficult to make. You know, you kind of have to really pull it out of the oven at the right time in order to have it be perfect and not be too overdone or too undercooked or whatever. And I had said to him, I go, "How dare you question my abilities as a non-trained chef?" And sure enough, I pulled that son of a bitch out of the oven. It was perfect. Last year it was perfect. So, and I remember it was great too, because I said to him, I called him, I go, "Brian, come in here." And he comes into the kitchen, and you know, he looks at it and I cut it open and he went, wow. And then he had called my cousin Richie in and he said, Richie, come here for a minute. And he calls in Richie and Richie looks at him and he says, I just want to show you how much of an asshole I am that I dare question my brother's abilities. So it was kind of cool. My brother mea culpa immediately on the roast beef. So this year, and then I did made my own eggplant parmesan last year, which was great because I went and I got the, you know, I looked up tons of different recipes to kind of like create my own style. And I found the easiest way to do it was to cut the eggplant up into the slices. And then you have to salt them and let the salt kind of bring out the bitterness of the eggplant. And then you have to rinse them all off. And so I did all that and I made, you know, breaded them and fried up the eggplant. And then actually I didn't fry them, I baked them and they came out great. So it was a big success with my eggplant parmesan last year. This year, I decided not to. I said, you know what? I think I'm going to do a little bit different. So the menu this year was a little different. Not a too much different, but a little different. I decided to, just for pasta's sake, I made raviolis and I had some meatballs. And so I had my meatballs, my ravioli. I did the roast beef again. And once again, it came out perfect. So I was very happy with that. And I did these things differently. I did what was called smashed potatoes. So you go and you get yourself, I get the little baby potatoes and you boil them in the water. You get them, you know, you cook them in the water, kind of parboil them in there. And then what you do is you just put them out on a cookie sheet and you smash them flat. Whatever method you choose. I had my nephew get another cookie sheet and he just kind of pushed it and smashed them all down together. And then you make them as you wish. You want to put, you know, salt, pepper, olive oil, Parmesan cheese, garlic powder, whatever you want to do. That's what I did. I did olive oil, salt, pepper, Parmesan cheese, and garlic powder. And I kind of just put them in the oven. You kind of bake them again in the oven so that they come out nice and crispy. And those went over like gangbusters. Everybody seemed to like those. I did my Brussels sprouts in the air fryer, which for those I just do again, very similar to my, very, very similar actually to the potatoes I did. You know, olive oil, salt and pepper, Parmesan cheese, garlic powder, but you do them in the air fryer. And I kind of cook them a little bit more in the air fryer so that they start to have, almost they start to burn a little bit because it just adds, that reaction just adds so much flavor to the Brussels sprouts. And they have become a hit at my family. I actually am forced to bring those to Christmas dinner as well because everybody loves them in my family. And the same is with my maple glazed carrots that I get. So what I'll do is I'll go out and I usually get the tricolor carrots. So you get the purple, you get the white, you get the orange. And I kind of either cut them into medallions or I'll kind of cut them diagonally to give them, you know, kind of like bite-sized chunks or whatever. And then I do those in, I kind of bake them in like a maple glaze with some, it's like a butter olive oil mixture. And then you kind of just put the maple syrup in. And then you can also do, if you want to, you can do a little bit of cinnamon or a little bit of nutmeg, if you wish, a little brown sugar too, if you want to kind of give it that little bit of, you know, the caramelization of that, the sugar will help caramelize the carrots as well. And that was kind of it for what I did. I mean, and then I just, you know, I threw some peas in and had some peas, and that was kind of the extent of the food that I gave that I had at Thanksgiving, at Easter, excuse me. I did make a pan gravy as well afterwards with the drippings from the roast beef and all that. So that was always a pleasure. And I did something different this year than I did at Thanksgiving, which I thought was kind of interesting, was that I know I sound real bougie and almost like a douche when I say this, but to me, it was kind of impressive. I passed my gravy through a sieve, a fine mesh sieve. So that way I was able to get all the, you know, kind of all the unsavory bits out that were just kind of the leftovers from the pan drippings. And so it was a nice solid gravy as opposed to like a chunky gravy or anything like that. So it came out really well. I mean, the food went over great. Everybody really enjoyed the food. I think the bigger thing though is that I have a very small family on my mother's side. It's just my mother and then her brother. And my uncle and my aunt and uncle are my godparents. And we, you know, as I said, they're kind of getting older. So we love to get together as a family because It's not a very big family. They only had two kids. My parents only had three. So, I mean, and then as far as the grandkids, it's not a lot. I mean, it's my nephew, and then I have one cousin that has two kids and another cousin that has a daughter. So it's not a very big family. But when we get together, it's we're all loud. except for my cousin Richie. He's not loud, but everybody else is loud. And then we have a lot of fun. We usually will play either a card game or a dice game. This year, we usually play left, right, center. I think a lot of people have heard of that game. And we didn't have a left, right, center this year. So they ended up playing zombie dice, which is another game that my brother has. It's kind of similar. It's very similar to left, right, center, where it's just it's dice that have zombies, brains, or it's like red brains, yellow brains, and green brains. And you have to have the brains. And regardless of what we do, we usually throw money in the pot, and then whoever wins it at the end wins the pot. I think my mother won the first game, and I think my brother won the second game. I did not play in the game. I actually sat and had a very long conversation with my uncle about a wide variety of topics, such as retirement plans and pensions and just a lot of talk actually about, now that I think of it, was a lot of talk about retirement, which is kind of funny. But one of the great conversations that I had was with my cousin Debbie, who was kind of giving me a pep talk of sorts. And I'll say a pep lecture, let's put it that way, because she was really kind of giving me her take on my value and worth as an employee at my current job, and just how really how you need to always value yourself and value what you do at your employer, and making sure that you always are out looking for not necessarily a new job, but a better job, or at least a better opportunity. And, really wonderful conversation to have with somebody who kind of understands where I'm coming from, or where, you know, and I say that not that I'm unhappy with my job, because I'm not. I love my job, and I do love my boss, and, I'm very, very content with what I do. So it's not that I'm looking for anything new, because I'm not. But she was just saying that, you know, she goes, you should always have your resume updated and out there. She said, because the worst case scenario is you either get a better job, or you find out that the job you're in is the best that you have. And so I think that that's great advice, you know, for everybody out there. You should always update your resume, throw it out on, not LinkedIn, I guess LinkedIn, but you know, LinkedIn's not really, you can get headhunted on LinkedIn, but you know, put it on those websites to have, you know, a headhunter and have a job come to you. And then the best time to find a new job is when you currently have a job, is what they always say. But, the takeaway that I had from that was that I should always value my worth, because, I know what I bring to the table. And I have a lot of years experience in my field, and it's something that I know is valued a lot in my current job. But, it's something I think everybody wants to get paid, you know, for what they do. And, so that's always a good it's always a good thing. I know that we also talked a lot about kind of this career, if you will, quote unquote career, or at least what I want to do for maybe a side hustle, because I know that for me, I don't want to do my, there would be an opportunity for me to do work in my field that I work, 40 plus hours a week. And I don't want to do that. You know, I don't want to say 40 plus either, because I really don't. I try to stick to that work-life balance. But I don't want to do my job after I do my job, you know, and one of the things that I would love to be able to do, you know, say 5-6 years down the road, is be able to not necessarily make money doing podcasting, because I have a real problem with trying to maybe charge people for money for content that I don't necessarily know if it's good enough, because I tend to be my hardest critic, you know. So, but what I would love to do, and one of the things that I'm working towards this year, is taking some classes on stand-up comedy writing and some improv and things like that. Because what I'd love to be doing a few years from now is being able to do like a 15-20 minute spot at a comedy club and getting paid for that. That would be fun because, you know, I could do podcasting for free and get paid to do stand-up comedy, like, you know, during the weeknight or on the weekends or something like that. And so that's going to be something that I'm looking towards this summer. Is there's a couple places that I can do in Boston that I can take some classes. And I've done stand-up before, and it was kind of one of those things off my bucket list that I always wanted to do. And so I did that, and I was really proud of myself, and I got some laughs, which was nice. And but it's something that I want to kind of keep plugging away at, because I think that at least to pat myself on the back, I feel like I do have a talent in the kind of the entertainment industry or the entertainment field. And I think that there's an opportunity there for me to explore that. And it's a passion of mine, and it's a passion project, and it would be something that I think would be fun. It would be a fun venture to do. And if anybody out there is listening and thinks I'm totally full of shit, please let me know and just say, like, listen, dude, you're not as funny as you think you are. You actually suck, and you should probably stick to your day job because your night job sucks. But and I would love to hear that feedback, because then I'll find you. No, I'm just kidding. But it was overall the weekend. It was great. I know that other people had some other awesome times as well, you know, some of my friends and family. And then I had some friends that, or I should say friends, not family, but I had some friends who really didn't do much, you know. They kind of just had a very low-key weekend, and I think a lot of people were holidayed out, maybe from Thanksgiving and Christmas, and so this was kind of one of those holidays that just didn't, you know, it's a very religious holiday. If you're not Catholic or Christian and you don't really celebrate Easter, then it's just a regular random Sunday in the spring. But it was, you know, I know the people that do celebrate Easter, kind of a lot of them had very low key, you know, maybe just either went out to dinner with them with their significant other, or maybe just got together with just their parents or whatever. And so that was kind of cool. But for me, it's always about the entertaining, and it's about the entertaining in the aspect of having people over and feeding them. I'll tell you, man, nothing brings me more joy than seeing people go back for seconds of my food, and it's always awesome to see that. So that was a great experience and a great time. And I hope that everybody else had a wonderful holiday, you know. And I really wanted to bring, just to kind of give everybody the insight to what I did and what I made and what I cooked, because, you know, I know that a la carte, it's not always a food show, but I think that it's fun for us to go over and talk about some recipes and things that we had and what we did or what we ate and just that kind of thing. Because food's a passion of mine, right? I mean, if you've ever seen any pictures of me on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, you know that I'm a big dude. So it's always good to enjoy the comforts of tasty vittles. So, that was the Easter holiday for me. And now that the holiday season's over, I can kind of prepare towards... Oh, I got to prepare towards our summer family event. I don't know what I'm going to do there. I think I'm going to try to do some, maybe like an icebox cake or something like that, where I, you know, and then I really want to start. I got my nephew, because we love that Japanese ice cream. And the mochi, I think it's called. And I bought a mochi kit for him, where it comes with like the rice flour, and you make the rice flour dough, I guess. And then what you do is it comes with the form where you buy your ice cream that you want, and then you can put it in the form, and it makes the little ball that you then put into the rice flour dough, and then you make the mochi. And we gotta start doing that, because it's so good. That stuff is so good. Every time we go out for like ramen, we have that, and it's so delicious. And you can buy it in the stores, but it's buy when you can make it. And I thought that would be a really fun thing for us to do, is to make it. And that's something that I want to do. But I keep having this desire to make like an ice cream sandwich cake. But, you know, really like one from scratch, where you make the ice cream sandwich part, you know, the sandwich part. So you make like that chocolate cookie almost, and then put it in the pan. You can get a mold. There is molds on Amazon. You don't need a mold. But like, put it in basically the pan, and then get get like the real good like French vanilla ice cream, like Breyers, like or a high end vanilla ice cream or vanilla bean ice cream, and just kind of making like a really big ice cream sandwich cake, you know, and having that as kind of a special treat for everybody. So there's a lot of different things I want to start trying to make on my own. I do have the, you know, the pasta attachment for my KitchenAid, so I want to start making my own pastas, making my own raviolis with my own stuffings and things like that. So, you know, I've seen a lot of different, I'm always looking at new recipes online and things like that. So, you know, hopefully in the future, in a future a la carte, I'll give some insights as to maybe some recipes that we have that we've made and we've enjoyed. And, you know, like I said, I've done several different things before with vegan recipes and just vegetarian recipes. And I remember when I recently made an actual shepherd's pie, like a real shepherd's pie. So I used lamb, and I kind of fooled my brother because he's not a big fan of lamb, according to him. And afterwards we had, you know, I said to him, you know, I have a little running joke with him where I said to him, did you want some tuna fish with that? And it's because from Big Daddy, when Rob Schneider is on trial, well, when Adam Sandler's on trial and Rob Schneider is one of the witnesses, he goes, oh, they go together like lamb and tuna fish. So I asked my brother if he enjoyed that and wanted some tuna fish, and he knew right away that I use lamb. So he was just like, oh my God, I didn't even realize that was lamb. So that was kind of cool. Like, I got to, you know, surprise him with that. But it was a fun time for me, you know, get to see the look on his face when he realized he was eating lamb. He was eating a real shepherd's pie and not a cottage pie, as the one Gordon Ramsay would say. So but that I think is gonna do it for Keithy's Kitchen episode here for the Easter holiday weekend. And stick around, we're gonna talk about my trip to Philly in a little bit, so stay tuned. All right, everybody, welcome back. Thank you. And this is my trip to Philly. So for those of you who know, as I explained earlier, I am a long time wrestling fan. I've been a fan of professional wrestling, mostly the WWF, WWE now, since, God, I was probably, you know, 11 years old, I think. And I think I've explained before, I know I did talk about this on Talkin' Pop, if you heard that on the Jenny Position on the North South Connection Podcast Network. My first live experience was April of 1991 at the Boston Garden. And my brother took me on the train. We went on the subway to the Boston Garden. And I got to watch the main event that night was Hulk Hogan defending his championship against Sergeant Slaughter in a rematch from WrestleMania 7. So it was a really good experience for me, and I've been hooked ever since. So this year was WrestleMania. It was in Philadelphia at the Lincoln Financial Field, which is where the Philadelphia Eagles play. And I was really excited to go. So I said, you know, so this is kind of like the whole build up and everything to that. So I went there from Thursday to Monday, and I drove down. And driving down on Thursday was kind of great because we had this like really weird snow, sleet, kind of hail, just real shitty weather in Boston. And as we were driving, I was driving through this shitty Boston, you know, shitty weather through Massachusetts and into Connecticut. And then once we kind of get to Southern Connecticut, it starts to kind of peel away, and it's just overcast, but it's no longer any precipitation. So it was great. We were, did I say precipitation? Precipitation. What the hell's wrong with me? Precipitation. But as we're coming through, we get down to Philadelphia, and like I said, it was overcast. You know, went over the George Washington Bridge, and came through, you know, the Jersey Turnpike. I stopped at the Vince Lombardi rest area, and you know, we just drove down there, and we got down, and we were looking around to meet up with our friends, and everybody was basically staying at the same hotel, which worked out perfectly. So we ended up going over to the casino and having a Gino steak, and that was, I guess, okay. I mean, you know, I got it with, what did I have it? I had it with peppers and onions and mushrooms than Cheese Whiz. And to be perfectly honest, the reason why I did Cheese Whiz is because I know that that's like the thing in Philly. It was okay. I mean, I don't know. Give me a D'Angelo sub any day of the week and twice on Sunday and I'll be fine. But needless to say, I didn't gamble at the casino because I was going to. I was going to sit down and maybe play blackjack for a little bit. And then all of a sudden my friends were like, hey, we're getting ready to leave. So we left. And we went to a, we had a number of wrestling shows we were going to that night. So the first one we went to was at the old ECW arena. And so that's the 2300 arena. And honestly, it was amazing going there. Now, for those who may or may not know, ECW was one of really the big three back in the 1990s. You had the WWF, you had the WCW, which was World Championship Wrestling. They were located out of Atlanta. And then you had the ECW, which stood for Extreme Championship Wrestling, which was really located out of Philadelphia. And this was the one of the arenas. It was basically their home arena that they would have shows at. But it was something that I never got a chance to go to while ECW was in business. So it was kind of cool going down there and actually going to a wrestling show in the ECW arena that had some ECW wrestlers on there. Now, the show itself was the March Hitchcock Memorial Super Show. And Mark Hitchcock was involved in wrestling. I think he was a super fan, and I think he had, I don't know the whole history on the man, and I apologize for that. Apparently he was very well loved and very well liked. I think he, you know, had a lot of friends in the business, kind of in the industry and everything. So they do every year, they do this, and he passed away a few years ago. So this is this, like, they do a memorial show for him now every year, WrestleMania weekend. And this card was kind of a cool card, actually, for me. I mean, it was a really great card. I mean, you had the former Dolph Ziggler. He wrestled Joey Janela, who Joey Janela is kind of one of the big stars on the independent network, independent circuit, as well as the company that I like called GCW, which stands for Game Changer Wrestling. GCW, you should check it out because we have GCW Game Changer Podcast that my friends Matt and Jenny host every week here on the North South Connection Podcast Network. And it's GCW is a great company. This is the company that they primarily do, like, they'll have a couple of death matches where they have light tubes and plate glass windows and stuff like that. And when I went to the show in Detroit last summer, it was the best because I had glass shattered on me. And ever since then, I'm hooked on this now because I'm just like, give me more. So so we had a 6-man match where the FBI, which was a big faction back in ECW days, where Tommy Rich, the former NWA World Champion, Tommy Rich wrestled. He was part of the FBI, even though Tommy Rich does not look or sound or act Italian at all. But it's funny because the FBI stands for full-blooded Italians. And they had they wrestled Los Boricuas, which was a old faction from the WWF, which is Savio Vega. It was him and his Puerto Rican friends that were joined together. So that was kind of cool that we saw that match. Rob Van Dam, who was a former ECW mainstay as well as WWE mainstay, he wrestled Speedball Mike Bailey, who's another famous, you know, kind of big independent name. There was another match. I didn't know the two guys. That was Rev Pro. I didn't know who they were, but they put on a banger of a match. Matt Riddle, who recently wrestled in the WWE, he was there with Mustafa Ali, who recently wrestled in the WWE. They were in a tag team match against a team called the Rascals. And then there was Josh Alexander, who he's in TNA, I think. And he, which is another company that's currently a wrestling company. And he wrestled another, like, mainstay, GCW mainstay is Masato Tanaka, who he's 51 years old. And that man, that son of a bitch can still go. And then there was another big, like, 10-man tag match. I didn't really know any of the wrestlers in that match, but we actually kind of banged out after the Tanaka match, and we had left to go back to the hotel and kind of hang out in the lobby with my friends. And then the last match was a street fight. The main event of the show is his name, he's an actor, Paul Walter Hauser. He's best known at least for me, that he plays Stingray on Cobra Kai, and he wrestled in like a street fight against a, you know, another name guy, Sammy Callahan, who's like a name, big name in the independent circuit. And it was really funny. Like, I kind of wish I did stay to watch it, but I was really tired. I mean, we had, you know, I drove down there and I had gotten up at like, you know, I got up at like 5 a.m. and left the house at 6. It was just a, you know, it's a 5-hour drive to Boston to Philly. And so it was just kind of like one of those things where, you know, by the time of the end of the day, I was like, I'm cooked. I just need to go to bed. So, but it, oddly enough, I went back and ended up staying up for like another 2 hours in the hotel. You know, with my friends, but it was fun. We had a great time, and you know, it was kind of cool just to be, like I said, to go to the ECW arena and be able to attend a show there, for something that, you know, ECW went out of business in 2001. So, you know, it's been a while. That was Thursday. So Friday we went to we kind of did some sightseeing tours, and we went to the Rocky Steps and the Rocky statue. And I feel like this was really funny. I took a picture. My picture in front of Rocky was, I laid down on the ground in front of the Rocky statue, and I looked at, like, it looked like he knocked me out. And I put the caption on my Facebook, and I said, Rocky didn't take too kindly to my comments on Rocky 5. I thought that was pretty funny. I don't know, maybe nobody else did, but whatever. I also kept trying to do my Dusty Rhodes impression and was saying, like, it's chilly in Philly, baby. And nobody thought that was funny either, even though it was kind of cold, but that's neither here nor there. So we ended up then going down, like I said, we went to like we were doing some touristy stuff. So we went to like the Liberty Bell. The line was like an hour and a half long. So we were like, well, I'm not doing that. So we ended up going to the Terminal Market, which is their big kind of open market. And it's an open market in a building, but it's kind of like a big, it's a lot of, I guess it's the Reading Terminal Market. Which makes sense because it's the, you know, Reading Terminal, Reading Railroad. But it's cool, though, because it's like a farmer's market. And so you go in and it's a farmer's market. It's exactly what you think. Like, it's a grocery store. And there's all these people selling produce, and they're selling vegetables. And I mean, at one point I'm walking by and I'm looking at the cases, and there was like chicken heads and shit. Like, it was really fun. And it was stuff that was like, it was like chicken parts for broth or for, it was kind of for stock. And I just thought that was kind of funny. I was like, yeah, I guess you can go here and you can buy, like, you know, you can buy all the parts of a chicken that the normal butcher will cut off. And then they just throw it in a bag and they put it in the fridge and they say, like, hey, use these to make chicken stock. It's what they tell you when you're looking online. They tell you to make sure you save all the stuff you cut off the chicken. So, you know, so we did go and also in there. So you have your farmer's market, and then you have, so the way it's set up is it's set up like First Avenue to 11th Avenue. And then there's like, so it's all rows, like first, second, third, fourth. And then there's these other rows that kind of, it's like a grid formation where it's like A, B, C, D, and it goes. And then at all these intersections is all of these places that you can eat. And it's got everything. It had, like, you know, obviously you get your Philly cheesesteaks, but it had like gumbo, it had ice cream. They had places where they were selling like, parfaits and puddings, and it was just everything everywhere. So it was really cool. I ended up going to Denick's. I think it's Denick's is how you pronounce it. And I'll just leave that as it is, and then we'll just move on from there, because I got a little under the weather, let's put it that way. And I think it was, I don't know, we'll leave it at that. So that night we had the GCW show, which was at the Penn's Landing, which is kind of like down by the water in Penn's in Philadelphia. That show, I like I said, I wanted to attend it. I wasn't able to because I was a little under the weather. So, but the show was great. I'm sure that if you listen to the GCW podcast, that Jenny and Matt will go all over it. And it was, Jenny had some really good experiences with that. So I highly recommend you listen to that episode. If you find it once it posts, because, I'll let her explain the kind of stuff that went on. I mean, it was a great show. Nonetheless, I watched it on my phone, cause I have the app that you can watch it. So even though I wasn't there in person, I did watch it, and yeah, it was a great show. So I would highly recommend. The one thing I will say is that because it was in like kind of a nice location, they didn't do any of the death matches with the glass, because it was like rug. It was a rug everywhere. So it made sense that they weren't going to have like glass shattered and stuff. So I was kind of like not too disappointed because like I really wanted to get like glass shattered on me, you know, like that was kind of like a thing. Like I'm almost, I don't know, it, something happens where you just like snap and all of a sudden now you just want like death matches. It's just, it's kind of a, it's weird. I don't know. It's really weird. If you're a wrestling fan, I might recommend definitely checking out a GCW show if you can go live. And if you can go live, sit ringside. Always try to sit ringside. Because I mean, we were sitting ringside and there's no barricade. So like when the wrestlers come out, they get thrown on you, they get thrown on you and you're just like, oh my God, this is great. So yeah. So check it out. Again, Game Changer Wrestling, GCW. There you go. So Saturday was a big day for us because it was NXT day, Stand and Deliver. And then it was WrestleMania Saturday, which is the first night of WrestleMania. So NXT was great. Unbelievable show. That was at the Wells Fargo, which is where the 76ers and the Flyers play. Now, the cool thing about Philadelphia is that it's like one massive lot, basically, for all of the major area, like the major sporting venues. So you have Lincoln Financial, which is where the Eagles play. You have now I'm forgetting what the name of the baseball park where the Philadelphia Phillies play, and that's in like the other corner of the lot. And then you have the Wells Fargo, which I said is where the Flyers and the 76ers play. And it's kind of like there's four corners, and then the fourth corner is, it's called Xfinity Live, and it's just kind of like a little plaza where it has like a bunch of different bars, and it's one of the bars has like a bull in it that you can ride, and I didn't ride the bull. A couple of our friends did, but I didn't, and because I was like, I'm gonna get on the bull and break my hip, and then you might as well just take me out back and put me out of my misery. So I didn't do that. But yeah, I mean, and it's so cool because it's like you basically park in one spot and then you can kind of stay there all day. You know, I mean, they tell you you're not supposed to, but they weren't really doing anything. Obviously, they're not going to ticket and tow 70 something thousand cars. But it was kind of just cool because it's all within walking distance. There's not a ton around there, but it was a really cool location just for us to go. So we went to the NXT show. Like I said, that show was fantastic. The main event was Carmelo Hayes, and he took on Trick Williams. And Carmelo is one of the chaotic guys. He'll always be Christian Casanova to me. But he's Carmelo Hayes in NXT, but he was from Chaotic. And I think he's from like Framingham or something like that. And anyway, so he's kind of a big deal in NXT now. And he was wrestling his former best friend, now bitter enemy, Trick Williams. And Trick Williams came away with the victory. And if anything, I hope that this means that Carmelo is going to get called up soon, very soon, to the WWE. And next thing you know, another guy from Boston is going to make good, you know. So just like John Cena before him, another guy will make good from Boston. So good luck to Carmelo Hayes out there. I love him to death. And then after that, we went to this cool little bar called Faladium, I think it was called Faladium. And it was just a little bar like down the street from the complex, and they had good food. You know, we had just some like apps, you know, brought our way and everything. But Faladium, in great little location in Philadelphia, if you have a chance, it was on Packer Avenue. So if you're ever in Philadelphia area, go down to Faladium. It was really cool. And then it was time for WrestleMania Night 1. So we go back to Lincoln Financial, and I was with GFA Live's Petey Winston, and we were sitting next to each other with my friend Gruny and my friend Eric. And Pete and I are walking into the stadium, and I knew that Bob Heck of Bob Heck Entertainment, Pittsfield's number one entertainment destination, I knew Bob was going to be there with his daughter, because back last year when I bought my tickets for WrestleMania, I had said to Bob, or Bob had texted me and he said, hey, you going to Philly? I said, yeah. He goes, oh my God, I'm going down there with my daughter. I was like, that's awesome. I go, you should come to, we're going to have a tailgate on Sunday, so you should come to the tailgate. And he goes, oh, I only bought tickets for Saturday. And I went, oh, that sucks. So 5 minutes later, 5 seconds later, even, he calls me, he texts me back. He says, hey, I just bought tickets for Sunday's show. I'm in. So I'm like, great. So I knew Bob was there. So we're walking to our seats, and we were in the mezzanine section, and we're walking, and Pete goes, wouldn't it be awesome if we saw Bob? And I said, oh, we'll see Bob. He goes, what are the odds that we're going to run into Bob and like 70 something thousand people? I go, believe me, it'll happen. Sure enough, like 5 minutes later, out of nowhere, Bob comes up and clotheslines me from behind. And I was like, get the hell out of here, man. What's going on? It's great to see you. Now, we were already up in like the mezzanine section because it was like an area you had to kind of walk up to, you know, through past all like the hundred sections and everything. And I said to Bob, I go, where are your seats? He goes, oh, we're in like section like M11 or whatever. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. And then he goes, yeah. So we tell him where our seats are and everything. Go up, go to the show. And we're having a great time. It was cold. I'll say that it was cold. But it was cold because it was windy. And it was night. But it was cold because it was windy. Like, it was chilly. So, but WrestleMania Night 1, it was great. You know, it was a great experience, great atmosphere. This was my first WrestleMania, and so I was really excited to be a part of it. I was really excited to go, just because it's kind of like it literally is the Super Bowl of wrestling, but it was just, for something that's so near and dear to me, it was so awesome to go to and just to be a part of, and to hear the music live and to see the matches. Like, I actually could see the matches too, cause I had pretty decent seats and, you know, I mean, everybody was tiny, but I mean, I could still watch the match and see, you know, like when you hear, I wasn't far enough away that when they hit the mat, like you could hear it the same time you saw it. So, you know, it wasn't like I was too far away that the sound was, you know, slower than the light. So it worked out really well. But just being part of it was so cool, you know, for something that, like I said, I mean, as a lifelong fan, it was so awesome to just be a part of it for the first time. And it didn't disappoint either. You know, the matches were really good, and they were just, again, like, it was so cool. Like, Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch had a great match to open up the show, and Gunther, you know, lost his championship to Sami Zayn, his historic Intercontinental title run to Sami Zayn, and Sami Zayn kind of finishing this, you know, another finishing the story, but like, you know, kind of the underdog, the true underdog winning out in the end. And just, it was such a cool experience. And then, you know, I mean, it was just so much fun to be a part of that. It's in my blood now. Like, I'll probably go to every WrestleMania from now on. And then the thing I wanted to bring back about Bob, though, is to mention is that so we were in section mezzanine 14, row 11, and I had seats 28 and 27. Pete and I were sitting in. We find out that Bob the next night was in section M13, row 11, seats 1 and 2. He was literally next to us with just the stairs and the handrail separating us. And so now I've been friends with Bob since grade school. So he's probably, I think I said, he's like, I think he's beaten out by just by Chris, as far as like the length of time that I've been friends with the guy, you know? And, it was so cool to sit and watch WrestleMania the next day with him, like, next to me, and like get to like hug him when, you know, Cody won at the end and all that kind of stuff. It was just, it was so cool. And the odds of that happening without us talking, like, I didn't tell him where my seats were when he bought the tickets. Like, he had no idea. So it was just totally by the luck. And the craziest thing I said is that there was people there the night before. So I don't know if those people just didn't get those tickets, or they wouldn't even go or whatever. I mean, there were some people that just went to one night and didn't go to the other. So I guess, you know, but hey, it lucked out for me. I got to sit next to one of my closest and oldest and dearest friends, you know, and it was a great experience. That Sunday morning, though, we had a tailgate. Like I said, we had a tailgate in one of the lots, and it was great. I mean, we had it catered, and the catering was the guy's name was Woody, and I can't remember his name. I'm gonna have to look up and see what his name is so I can give a shout out. I'll have to tweet it out. So be on the lookout for that, because I want to tweet out like his company, if you're ever in Philadelphia or the Philly area and you want to know. It was awesome. I mean, the guy's food was great. He had these pork sliders, and he had like brisket, and the brisket was fucking awesome. Like, the brisket sandwiches are so good. And he had mac and cheese. He brought all the non-alcoholic stuff, and then you had to buy the alcoholic stuff. But I'm not a big drinker anyway, so I didn't really care. I was more excited that I got to drink like waters and, you know, sodas and stuff like that. But yeah, the food was great. His rig that he brought had like, you know, big screen TVs and had its own bathroom, like its own like legit bathroom too. It wasn't like a little, it wasn't a bucket in the back of the truck. It was like a legit bathroom too, like with a sink and running water and everything. It was just it was such a great experience. And then like I said, the second night the show was great because it was better weather. Wasn't like barely any wind. It was kind of really a nice night. It was a really nice night. Obviously, the monumental end to Roman Reigns' historic world heavyweight, super duper heavyweight champion of the world, kingdom, whatever champion that he is. Where Cody beat him at the end was great, amazing. I was kind of saying that this whole build for Cody Rhodes has really made me buy back into him and into wrestling again. And it kind of made me, and I'm going to sound like an ass when I say this, but I kind of welled up listening, you know, seeing it at the end, because I was a fan of Dusty Rhodes, his dad. I was a fan of Dustin, his brother, and who went by Goldust. And I feel like that the Rhodes family never fully got their due in the WWF/E all those years. And I was so excited to finally see that family get that recognition that they deserve, that a lot of other families also got, as you know, throughout history. And it was just such a great moment. And it, you know, if you want to goof on me and go, it's still real to me, damn it, that's fine. I mean, I get it. I know it's a performance art. I know that it's, you know, I know it's predetermined. I don't like the term fake because, again, no one sits there and talks about Tom Hanks is fake when he's storming the beach at Normandy, or, you know, no one talks about, you know, that, it's just, I get it. Like, you don't, you know, no, everyone knows that Robert Downey Jr. is not really flying around in a Iron Man suit. You know, I get it. I know that. And, but for this, it's, I mean, They're performing something that is art, and it's also very physical. And, you know, they give awards out to actors, and, you know, they're doing just as much acting in professional wrestling. And, you know, if I want to go down the conspiracy corner, I could sit there and say that every other friggin' sport's fixed as well. You know, you can't tell me there's times you've been watching football or basketball and not just go, all right, come on, that friggin's fixed, you know? So you can say what you want, but I always say this. I go, listen, I remember back in the day when people would pay $150 for a Mike Tyson pay-per-view, and he would beat the guy in 30 seconds. And how much did that piss off people that you paid $150 and you beat the guy in 30 seconds? Whereas, at least if I'm going to pay $9.99 for the Peacock Network and watch wrestling, I know that I'm going to get 3 hours of just nothing but nonstop entertainment. So, you know, be that way you will. But overall, it was a great experience, and I'm not gonna apologize for loving it. So, but that was kind of it. And then the drive home Monday was quick and easy. I did get a chance to stop and look at the tail end of that eclipse or whatever. But I saw something really funny that I thought was great. Was somebody made a reference of making sure you don't buy any plants on Monday, or. And that was a joke to the Little Shop of Horrors, because Audrey 2 was basically, she was the alien came because of the eclipse. And I thought that was kind of funny, so I wanted to share that. I thought that was great. But I did get to see a little bit of the eclipse. But really, it was weird driving home, because we were driving on the road, on the highway, when like the eclipse was going on. And it was just this weird kind of post-apocalyptic haze almost on the road. And it seemed like there was nobody else on the road as well, which was even made it more creepy. So I don't know. It was kind of, I mean, I know I was driving home like midday on a Monday, but it still just seemed kind of weird. Like the road seemed to be empty. And like I said, there was just this kind of weird haze going on. I went, wow, this is kind of cool. It was like right out of a movie, I felt like. So, but yeah, we got home and everything, and back to the grind on Tuesday morning, you know? So overall, I will say the weekend was a fantastic blast. I loved it. No regrets, not one letter. I want to give a special shout out to all of my friends from Place to Be Nation and North South Connection, because, you know, getting to meet a lot of them face to face for the first time, it was really cool. They feel they're a lot more than friends to me. They're a lot more like a family. And I feel that, and I know that this is something that everybody I think shares, but yeah, I mean, it's a special group of friends. And I think that, you know, we all have something in common, but we have so much more in common too, you know. And the more I sit and I talk to people like my friend Sean or my friend Schiff, or, you know, I find out just how much I have in common with these people that is just outside of the fact that we all like a sport, you know, sports entertainment or whatever. And it's so cool. I had, you know, some political discussions with some of them where, you know, you're having maybe differing opinions, but similar positions, and having a intellectual, not heated, where you're just yelling at each other because one of you is red and one of you is blue, you know, and just people that were, you know, complimenting me for the first episode of Hail to the Keith and, you know, asking me when the next one's coming out, and just kind of cool things like that where, you know, it just made me feel like a part of their group. And I know that on Talk and Pop, Tim and Jenny had mentioned that I kind of quickly rose to being accepted into this group that has been longstanding, running for a while. And I can agree that, you know, I'm so grateful and so thankful for that. But I did kind of rise up fast because right away you can tell, but it's not for anything special that I think I'm doing. It's just, they're a wonderful group of people and they're very accepting and they're very loving. And I'm very, very lucky to be part of that group. And I'm very, very lucky that they came into my life at this time. So I want to give a very special shout out to all of them. My friends that I love, my family that I love. And I can't wait for the SummerSlam that I'm going to go to Cleveland, and, you know, we're going to hang out in Cleveland, maybe go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and, you know, do some other shit and crazy shit in Cleveland. Maybe I'll lose my mind and go into get amnesia. And that's a WCW Cactus Jack reference for those who don't know. And if anybody doesn't know who Cactus Jack is, it's not important. But that's, I think, going to be it for this episode of A La Carte with Keithy. Like I said, it's a table for one. I just wanted to kind of give everybody a little rundown of my weekend. Overall, I had a great time in Philly. Philly is a wonderful city. I recommend anybody get a chance to go out there and, you know, and, oh, shit, I didn't even, oh, man, I can't believe it. I forgot to talk about, oh, my God, I almost ended this and I didn't even get to talk about when I went to WrestleCon. Oof, boy. So, WrestleCon. That was Sunday morning. And Sunday morning, I went to, it was one of the Sheridans that they had. It was the WrestleCon is the wrestling convention where a lot of the old wrestlers from the 80s and 90s were going there to sign autographs and take pictures and stuff with their fans. I have a couple stories. Real quick, I met, so tag teams from the 80s, I met Demolition. So Demolition was the big tag team of the WWF back in the 80s. Axe and Smash were the two main members of Demolition, and they were former tag team champions. Up until recently, they were the longest reigning tag team champions. And honestly, they were a team that was considered to be kind of a knockoff of a very famous tag team called the Road Warriors, or the Legion of Doom, as some people would know them when they were in the WWF. I always felt, and I still to this day feel, that they are not a knockoff of the Legion of Doom, because I feel that they're a better team than Legion of Doom, than the Road Warriors. And that's sometimes that's considered a sacrilegious statement. I don't care. And I'm going to stand on that. But I got a chance to talk to them. And the cool thing is that being from Boston, this was obviously a big territory for the WWF back in the day. And of course, everybody had gone to Kowloon's and Saugus on Route 1. And so it was great to sit and talk to Axe and Smash, because I got to talk to them about the Garden, the old Boston Garden, and of course, Kowloon's and all that. And wonderful people, you know, just wonderful for two guys who have been in this industry for so many years. They were just amazing, wonderful men that I met. And I said, you know, they were one of my favorite tag teams. I love these guys to death. And it was just so cool to meet them. And then I you know, I went to meet another tag team was the Powers of Pain. And the Powers of Pain were the Warlord and the Barbarian, as they were known in the WWF. And they were another, kind of another similar. Now, the Road Warriors were a major tag team that was through, like, all the different territories back in the day. And they were modeled after the people that, like, it was in Mad Max. Like, the people that were kind of chasing after Mel Gibson and Mad Max. So, Demolition was kind of like a knockoff of that, so to speak. The Powers of Pain was also kind of a knockoff of that, so to speak, as well. However, I mean, the Warlord and the Barbarian ended up having like a hell of a good run in the WWF back in like the 80s and 90s after the fact that they were a tag team as well. So, and it was cool because I got to have a conversation with them, and I was telling the Barbarian that he was in the first match I ever saw at the first show I ever went to in April of 91, and he wrestled Bret the Hitman Hart in a 15-minute draw, and it was really cool to talk to them. And then I started talking to the Warlord, and this guy is like the greatest motivational speaker ever. He is like the nicest, most genuinely humble, genuinely wonderful man. And he was talking about just, you know, he's like, I don't hate Vince McMahon. This guy made me an action figure that's going to live on forever. And it was just kind of really inspirational to hear that he was, you know, what he thought of, especially considering that, you know, he had a run, but it's not like he, you know, he wasn't a Hulk Hogan. You know, he never had like he was never the top guy. He was just kind of like a regular mid-card guy or whatever. And so it was really cool. We got to meet Hacksaw Jim Duggan, which most people would remember Hacksaw Jim Duggan. And Hacksaw, actually, he recently had a bout with cancer and kind of came back, you know, came out on the other side in good shape. And so when I saw Hacksaw, I went, oh my God, I said, Hacksaw, I go, you look fantastic. I go, you know, I've been following you on Instagram and I know your whole story. I go, you look great. And he was like, oh, thanks. He goes, you know, thank you so much. And again, just another very humble, wonderful person, very positive. And that was kind of the thing, is I was like, wow, these are all positive guys. Like, it's just so cool. I didn't get to talk to, but I saw like Ric Flair. I saw Arn Anderson. I saw Tito Santana. I saw Jake the Snake Roberts on the way out. So, you know, I saw a lot of the, you know, a lot of the famous wrestlers that I knew, recognized in during the day. And then we come to the Honky Tonk Man. And I think most people remember the Honky Tonk Man. He used to have the distinction of being the longest reigning WWF Intercontinental Heavyweight Champion. And so he used to call himself the greatest Intercontinental Heavyweight Champion. That has since been broken by Gunther, he was the champion up until WrestleMania. How can I put this? That was the last thing the Honky Tonk Man had claimed to fame, because now everyone gets to go and see just how miserable of a piece of shit this guy is. I mean, he really is. So I went up to him and I had decided, I said, you know what? I don't know if I want to actually meet this guy, because I really have nothing to say to this guy, because I'm not a fan of his. Like, he's an asshole. You know, I say that because, like, you know, you listen to these interviews that he does and he's like a miserable old man. And, you know, everybody was trying to screw him at one point or another and everything. It's just always negative, negative, negative. But as anybody that listens to this, that also listens to GFA Live with Petey, I do an impression of him. And it's called like Modern Honky, and Modern Honky complains about the modern product of wrestling and various other things. So I said, you know what, I'm going to go up to him and I'm going to explain this to him and see if I can just get a chuckle out of him. So I go up to him and I said, you know, and he's sitting there talking to some guy, and I paid my money. I paid my $60 to get a friggin' picture with him. And he comes, you know, he goes to sit down because he had like a little snack pack or whatever on his table. And I went, no, champ. I go, take a picture with me real quick and then you can sit down and I'll tell you a story. So he goes, oh, all right. And he gets up, he takes the picture with me, and then he sits down. And I went, now, I go, Honky, you know, me and Pete here. And I said, like every other asshole that's coming to see you, we have a wrestling podcast. And he immediately starts waving his hand at me to get away from him and going, bye. Bye, bye. And he's doing that in that fucking Memphis drawl. And I'm like, bro, give me 5 fucking seconds to talk to you, dude. Are you serious? Like, I understand that you think I'm probably gonna whatever, but can you give me like, he was just being a dick. And I was like, listen, and I told him the whole thing. I said, I do this impression of you. I go, it's not an insult. I go, I'm not making funny. I'm not breaking your balls. I go, I'm just doing an impression of Modern Honky where he's pissing and moaning about different various things. And then I quickly came up with one, and I went, you know, these motherfuckers, every time you go to Stop and Shop, they don't even give you goddamn bags no more. You got to bring your own goddamn bag. And he turns, he looks at his handler, and he goes, I do say that. And I was like, see, I'm fucking in tune with the honky tonk man. I know what he's fucking talking about. He was just a dick, you know, needless to say. I was like, and as I'm walking away, you know, Pete was kind of pissed off, because I think he was pissed that, like, you know, we paid money and this guy couldn't even pretend to be interested. And I said, no, dude, I go, I just got the best fucking story from the Honky Tonk Man. Are you kidding me? I go, that's fantastic. That's like the best story. That reminds me of, and I cannot believe I even forgot to tell you guys this, I apologize, but the true highlight of the whole weekend was the fact that while I was in the terminal market, Pete comes up to me and he goes, hey, I think that's Haku. Now, anybody that listens to me knows that Haku, who is a former WWF wrestler, is like one of my all-time favorites of all time. Like, the guy is like one of my favorites. I love this guy. He's unbelievable. Not only is he in real life considered to be one of the toughest sons of bitches alive, he was fucking awesome in the ring. He was just an amazing, amazing, amazing wrestler. So I was like, as soon as I was like, no, where? And I go, where? And I go, holy shit, that's fucking Haku. And I went, oh my God, I have to go up and say something to him. So he was talking to somebody. I went up, I waited just patiently by the guy, and I said, excuse me, Mr. Haku. I go, I just want to tell you it's an honor to meet you, sir. I go, you are like one of my favorites. And he goes, I bet you tell that to everybody. I go, no, I really don't. I go, and I'll tell you right now, in fact, and I said, as far as I'm concerned, you never lost the crown to Duggan, which is just a gag from like back in the day. And he used to be the king, and then he lost the crown to Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and then Hacksaw lost it to the Macho Man, regardless. But he kind of did his laugh, his laughing. I said, would it be okay if I took a picture with you? And I said, of course. So I took a picture with him. And I talked to him. I said, thank you so much. I go, it was an honor to him. Shook his hand. Fucking guy's ham hock. Like, it was so, like, I was so excited to meet him. Looked fantastic, I might add. For the guy, he's like probably in his 60s. He fucking looked great. Might even be in his 70s. I don't even know. He's an old guy, but he's great. You know, so I go back to sit down. I'm telling my friends this and everything. And everybody else kind of, you know, we had like Justin went up to him and, you know, took a picture with them and everything. And it was kind of cool. So as he's leaving, he makes eye contact with me. And I'm sitting down talking to my friends, eating my sandwich or whatever. And he walks over and he taps me on the shoulder. He goes, hey, man, take it easy. And I was like, hey, thanks. I go, hey, God bless Haku. And he kind of looked back at me. And I was like, that's fucking Haku. I can't believe I met him like randomly just out in the middle of nowhere. Like, it was just, he was there at the freaking market probably getting something to eat. And I was like, holy shit. So it was kind of like, that was the highlight, I think, that was the highlight of my weekend. That, and then knowing that Bob Heck was sitting next to me, like, that was fucking, those are, like, two highlights that I'm going to take with me, like, that were fucking awesome, you know? But, I mean, other than that, I mean, tons of laughs, tons of stories from my friends, things that I don't really, you know, things that are just going to be all inside jokes that I wouldn't even tell, and overall, unbelievable trip, unbelievable weekend, something that I'm really pissed that it took me 44 years to finally do, well, 40, because WrestleMania has been, it was WrestleMania 40, but, you know, all these years to finally get out there to a WrestleMania, and it was well worth the wait. But it's something, like I said, is going to become a permanent fixture in my life now, probably going to these shows. So, but with that being said, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. Please check out everything that we do on the North South Connection Podcast Network and Place to Be Nation. You can hear me on GFA Live on any quad catcher app that you have every week with Petey. And if you want to reach out to me on the Twitter or the artist formerly known as Twitter, it's Flounder824. Thank you so much for listening to me, and catch you real soon. Bye.